Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 The Ticket, Jamie and Stoney. Tom Van Haren has joined us before to talk recruiting on National Signing Day, and he has a new book out available everywhere books are sold, including Amazon.com. The Road to Ann Arbor, Incredible Twists and Improbable Turns Along the U of M Recruiting Trail, and Tom joins us now to talk about it. Tom, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We are fantastic. People love recruiting. People love great behind-the-scenes stories, and Michigan is rich with all of them, especially when you think about, you know, Jim Harbaugh, Brady Hoke, great recruiter, Bo Schembechler. I mean, it's a treasure trove here. I guess the hardest part for you must have been whittling it down into one book instead of doing like 12 volumes.
Yeah, you know, that was the everybody's asked me how did I pick the players that made it into the book, and it was really trying to merge, you know, names that people would recognize with a good story, because there are some awesome stories out there, but there are, as you can imagine, some pretty straightforward stories as well. Ernest Schaeser was a big name that I thought everybody would recognize. I reached out to him, and his story was, we talked over the phone for maybe 30 minutes. It was, I grew up around the area, loved Michigan, went to their camp, they offered, and I committed. So that would have been probably the shortest chapter in the book, but it didn't make it in there. This book, I think for people that don't really follow recruiting or don't like recruiting, I still think they'll get a lot out of this, because it's a different side to Michigan's history and shows really the lead up to what these players really loved initially about Michigan.
Now, it's one of the players that you mentioned in the book. I was skimming through, and Jared Irons, and then I saw the stuff about what did BYU do to try to lure him? Like pictures of all these African Americans, and of course BYU not known to have that on their landscape.
Yeah, Jared's chapter is full of anecdotes. My editor, who actually went through the book, emailed me when he read Jared's chapter, because it's just filled with some interesting anecdotes, some funny ones. The BYU one I thought was so interesting, because Jared was talking about the different schools that came in and tried to recruit him, and he had heard a lot of these pitches before, because his older brother went through the process as well.
Right.
And he said BYU came in and they popped in a videotape. And he remembers seeing his parents watching this video and just thinking, did they make this video for me? Because there was a lot of African-Americans showing up in the video. And he said, I don't remember the campus looking that way when we saw it. So, yeah, he's got some pretty good stories in there about a few coaches, Lou Holtz, too, what he said to him on his in-home visit. So there's a lot of stories in there that I think fans will like.
We're talking to Tom Van Haren, writer for ESPN.com, covers college football and recruiting. He's got a new book out, The Road to Ann Arbor, all about Michigan recruiting. I got to ask about Bo, and I'm wondering, Tom, this is kind of a weird question. In a way, are you glad that you didn't get a chance to talk to Bo? Because the stories are so legendary, and you almost don't want to have him either refute them or dismiss them or talk them down, because everybody's got a Bo story. You dwell on, I thought, two really interesting ones, one about recruiting Jim Harbaugh, one about recruiting Mark Messner.
Yeah, you're right, and I think Bo probably would have been humble enough, or would have tried to push the story off on the player and not himself so much. So yeah, those two stories are the Jim Harbaugh story and Mark Messner story are really the two that I bring up as well, because I thought they were so funny, and everybody that was recruited by Bo seems to have their own story, and I think what I enjoyed about hearing it from them is everybody also has their own Bo impersonation. So when they tell the story, they tell it in Bo's voice. And Mark's story I thought was really funny, because in the book he says that he took a trip to UCLA and his parents picked him up from the airport. They were driving back to their house, and Mark says to this day he still has no idea how Bo did this, how Bo knew that he was on a trip to UCLA. But Mark and his parents pulled up to their house. They pull in the driveway, and there's a car in the driveway. And out of this car pops Bo Schembechler and Gary Moeller. And Bo looks at him, And all he does is he hands him a VHS tape, and he says, "You're a Michigan man." And he walks back into his car and leaves. And that was all he said. And Mark just kind of looked around and was like, "What in the world was that?" But it was an impactful part of his story, and everybody that was recruited by him seems to have that kind of story that meant a lot to them.
I'm intrigued by some of the guys that they didn't get. In the story you told about Jamie Morris, he had office visits, and Chris Spielman was before him, and there was, I guess, this huge argument. Can you reveal what they were arguing about? Because I was always under the impression that Spielman loved Bo, but his father is Ohio State, and his father said he would disown him if he didn't play at Ohio State.
Yeah, you know what? That was something that I really dug on, because I wanted to know, too. And Jamie wasn't real positive, because in the story, as Jamie recalls it, he was out in the hallway. And a lot of players had a similar story, that it was almost like lining up to get to the principal's office, that you just sat in a chair and waited for your turn to get into Bo's office. So Jamie was out in the hallway, and he remembers something happening and something being said. And so I reached out to Chris Spielman to figure it out. And as you can imagine, Chris was not real eager to talk about it. When I spoke to him, I said, "Chris, you know, there was a couple tales of you getting into it with Bo Schembechler." And all Chris really said was, "No, I don't remember it that way. We had a fiery discussion. We had a passionate discussion, and that was it." So that's kind of an urban legend right now. I really don't know exactly what happened in that meeting.
We're talking to Tom Van Haren. You get a sense from hearing Tom talk, too, that he doesn't just talk to the players,
right,
the coaches. I mean, as you said, Tom, there's so many elements to every recruiting story, whether it's parents, assistant coaches, teammates, whatever. I kind of want to ask you a more general question about Jim Harbaugh. Stoney and I talk to him most weeks on our show, and the thing I can't kind of wrap my arms around is he's obviously a brilliant recruiter, and yet he's not exactly – he's a strange guy.
He's not warm and fuzzy.
And I just wonder how the two things, you know, I guess coexist. From talking to him and talking to players he's recruited and kind of knowing college football the way you do, how is Jim Harbaugh able to recruit the way that he does?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think with a lot of coaches there's different sides to them. Not to say that you know they're fake to anyone, but you know, I think Jim Harbaugh to the media probably puts off a different perception than Jim Harbaugh sitting in the family room of a recruit he's trying to get. And I think they're both real. I think they're both an actual person. But you know, talking to a lot of the people that are around him, talking to a lot of the prospects that have been recruited by him, and he's very down to earth, and sometimes that his personality can come off as different. And there have been recruits and parents who have said that you know, it was just kind of different. It didn't mesh with their personality, which happens as well. But I think, you know, him in a family room is a lot different than Jim Harbaugh in a press conference. And some of the stories that we've heard, you know, even in the book with Aubrey Solomon, I spoke to his mom, Sabrina Caldwell, and we talked about his recruitment, Aubrey's recruitment, and they had some ups and downs in that recruitment. And something that stood out to her was when Michigan made a mistake with a thank you letter that they sent to Aubrey, Jim Harbaugh was the first to call her and say, "We're going to write this, we're going to make this, you know, we're going to fix this, we're going to get it corrected." And he developed a personal relationship with her. He opened up a direct line of communication with her, which not every head coach does. So he's actually really involved with that side of it. And, you know, he recruits kids that are like-minded as him as well. So I think the guys that he gets often are similar people to him as well.
Tom Brady's recruitment, kind of interesting and low-key. I want to ask you about that. And also, whenever Brady's mentioned, Drew Henson's name also has to be mentioned as well. Is it true, before we get to the Brady stuff, that Lloyd basically promised Drew Henson he would not recruit another quarterback?
You know, I haven't talked to Drew about that, so I don't want to confirm that without actually talking to Drew. You know, that stuff happens, though, and that's the story that I've heard, but I don't want to say,
okay,
you know, 100% without talking to Drew about that, just because I like to hear it from the source. And, you know, that's happened at Michigan other times as well. I mean, we've heard stories. You look at Shane Morris when he committed so early that, you know, they promised him a few things as well. So it's not out of the ordinary for that to happen, I would say.
Tom Van Haren with us here. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at TomVH. He's a great follow on Twitter if you're a fan of recruiting and college football. One of the things I actually like the most is early in the book you have the actual document that Jim Harbaugh filled out when he was a senior at Palo Alto High School.
Oh, the questionnaire.
Yeah, the questionnaire.
Yeah, those were incredible. And you guys kind of mentioned it before. I think a distinction of this book from other stories that people have told is the reporting in it. And I don't want to toot my own horn, but I wanted to make sure that it wasn't just the player, his perspective. Because, you know, following recruiting and covering it, the player side is not always the whole picture. And so I tried to talk to family members, assistant coaches, any other players that might have been involved with the recruitment. And then it really, I wanted to get a picture of, you know, who they were as people as well. And Michigan's library was very, very helpful in getting a lot of this stuff. They have all of this on file. The recruiting questionnaires that a lot of the players filled out, and Jim's is in there. And then Mark Messner, his mom has an entire binder of all of his recruiting letters still, which is incredible. So he sent me some of those. Those are in there as well. But these recruiting questionnaires, really interesting to look at and see some of their answers to some of the questions. You know, favorite TV show, favorite movie, favorite music that's going on at the time. It's pretty interesting to go back and look at all that stuff.
All right. Currently, two-part question. I know it's early still. Well, Michigan State, they're recruiting for this year. And also, I'm led to believe, and I could be wrong, that many SEC schools and Ohio State are able to get kids that Michigan, Northwestern, Michigan State, some of the other Big Ten schools can't get in. Is that accurate? And the latest on the Spartans and Wolverines?
In terms of academically for those schools?
Yeah,
I think there's a little bit of that. And I think what it ultimately comes down to for me, and what with getting a kid into the school too, is a coach wants that kid to be successful. You don't want to just recruit a kid and just hope for the best. They want him to be successful, and they want his career to last the whole time, his whole eligibility. So if you're recruiting a kid who you don't think is going to succeed academically and he's not going to make it anyways, then I think that's a waste of your time, and it's a waste of the coach's time, and it's a waste of the recruit's time as well. So I think that's a big part of it. Mm-hmm. For me, what I look at is why go after a kid who you think is probably not going to be able to hold up to what's required at Michigan, that might not be required at some of the schools in the South. So I think that's the biggest part of it for me, is they don't want to waste their time and don't want to go after a kid who's not going to succeed. And then with Michigan and Michigan State, Michigan's on an uptick this year. We have them ranked number 8 overall. They've got 22 total commitments, and it's been an interesting year, because last year I know some Michigan fans of the last class were a little nervous about how recruiting was going to go. And I really think a lot of these hires that they've made, Al Washington, Sharon Moore, Matt Budick, the recruiting director, is involved heavily in recruiting. I think there's been a lot of excitement around a lot of those guys, and they've kind of infused some youth and some excitement with the prospects as well. And we're seeing that in this recruiting class. So I think Michigan still has a little bit left that I think they'll wind up top 10, maybe around 7-6 on signing day with some of the prospects that they have left. So I think Michigan fans probably in good shape. And then Michigan State, we have them at 28 overall right now. And you know, I wrote something recently. There's a few teams that we just don't worry about in recruiting, because, you know, I'm not worried about them landing the top elite guys. And I put Michigan State on that list. That it seems like a couple of years back, they kind of got away from their strategy and their structure and culture of recruiting guys that have that chip on their shoulder, the 3 stars from Georgia, the 2-star guys who were overlooked. And I think they've gotten back to that now. And we saw it last year. They had a really young team, a little more experience this year, where I think they're going to be able to recruit some of those 3-star guys, get them into the program, develop them over a couple of years, and then get them on the field where they'll help. So I think they're on the right track. Like I said, ranked number 28 overall, but it's not the ranking overall for them is not something I worry about.
Tom Van Haren, joining us here on the Troy Laser and Fab Hotline. The book is The Road to Ann Arbor, Incredible Twists and Improbable Turns Along the Michigan Recruiting Trail. It's available everywhere books are sold. Tom, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it. Good talking to you, sir.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Tom.
There he is. Tom Van Haren joining us here, 97.1 The Ticket.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.